Two Middle-Aged Men in Cleveland, episode 135. Coincidentally, as we're recording this, Ted, it's Earth Day. Congratulations. Thank you.
Okay, go Earth.
And we also could celebrate Passover.
My.
There we All go. Right. It's a good way to start.
Yeah.
You know what else I think is a good way to start?
Jersey numbers?
Jersey numbers. Here we go.
Jersey numbers.
35. We'll start with your favorite team, the Cleveland Clowns.
Well, Calvin Hill is my pick.
Boom.
There have been a lot of others. Jerome nice. Ford's not 35, is he? He's 34.
Yeah, he's not 35.
I don't know. I'm going to just stop with Calvin Hill.
These names are not super popular. The most popular name besides Calvin Hill would be Jerome Harrison.
Yeah, okay.
Will Hill. Enos Jackson.
I'm sorry.
Bo Scott. Jermaine Whitehead. And everybody's favorite, Fozzie Whitaker. Okay. The Cavs list is much better. This is a pretty good list.
Oh, boy. Isn't there a current guy?
Yes.
Is it Isaac Okoro?
You got it. Well done.
How about that? No, your playoff Cavaliers.
No other guesses? You're good?
Wait a minute. No, Tree Rollins was 30. Yeah. Wasn't there somebody in the 80s, on the 80s teams wearing 35? Who am I thinking of? I'm drawing a blank, but it's going to drive me up the wall.
His name rhymes with the kid's nursery rhyme.
Oh, I don't know.
Old Mother Hubbard, Phil Hubbard.
Oh, Phil Hubbard, that's it. Yes. Oh.
Jim Clemens, another famous Cav.
Yeah.
Danny Ferry for 3.
Oh, God, yes, Danny Ferry.
And then I don't even know who this is. This is terrible. Clarence Weatherspoon? Doesn't ring a bell. I don't remember him. He's more recent. Huh. The Guardians Indians.
Mark Wiley.
No, you say his name.
I'm going to mention him every time.
I think you're just going to, you're eventually going to get it.
35 was scored the first run at new ballpark winning run in the first game. The substitute pitch
late outfielder.
God,
he's coaching now. He's coaching in the league.
Oh, I can't think of his name.
Wayne Kirby.
Oh, that's it.
Well done, though. That's impressive. Yeah. How about Gary Alexander? Did that come to your mind?
No, that one did not come to my mind.
How about Phil Negro?
Oh, well, okay. I got something on my glove here for him.
Danny Graves?
Oh, boy.
Here's a name. You actually did a very good job of covering this team and knew this team well. From 97 to 2000.
Wait a minute. Is this Herbert Perry?
It is not Herbert Perry. Oh, okay. No. Enrique Wilson?
If you say so.
I've never heard of him.
He was a utility infielder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oscar Mercado.
Okay.
Cam Gallagher was on the team in 2023. Do you remember Cam Gallagher? Because I do not.
Isn't he smashing watermelon somewhere?
He might be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
With his two other brothers. Unfortunately, I think they both have passed. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Ted, that's your jersey update.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's okay. Well, I think I got one from each. Well, I was close on one from each team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you were.
Hey, you know the Rock Hall inductees were announced?
I've heard about this.
One of my favorite bands got in.
I know it is.
Yeah.
I know who it is.
Foreigner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you need more than 3.
That's right.
There you go.
Anybody else? I'm surprised that Cher wasn't in already. That's
Yeah,
shocking.
that is surprising too. Some of the ones, I mean, it's just interesting. Mary J. Blige, I
Yeah.
mean, she's for music. I mean, obviously very, very popular, very innovative. Dave Matthews Band. I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
Peter Frampton, he's another one. I didn't know he wasn't in.
Right. Maybe not known. So, I mean, a lot of people know him, but I think if they knew all the different bands he was in, they would be,
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah. So
Cool in
just,
the Gang. I mean,
I can't believe they're not in.
yeah. And Ozzy Osbourne, I guess you better get him in there while he's still above ground.
Well, I think he's in, and then this is the part that always gets
From Black
confusing.
Sabbath?
He's in with Black Sabbath,
Okay.
yes, but they now he's in as an individual.
Okay.
You got the others?
A Tribe Called Quest.
I don't know who that is.
I'm with you. Who do you think, and this is a trick question, but well, it's not a trick question, but it's people may not know who all is in. Who do you think of the bands you know? Is there one that stands out as like, wow, I can't believe they're not in? I got
I don't know if Bad Company's in.
Oh, okay. That if they're not, they should be.
I know Beck as an individual should be in. The guy played for decades.
Yeah.
He's not in. That much I do know. Some of the other ones I think are starting to get in. I don't know. Do you have somebody?
I have a band. I'm surprised with all their success that Styx is not in.
Oh yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
Don't know why
Huh.
that is, but I mean, I don't think they've ever even been nominated.
Yeah, I don't know how that whole thing works,
I
if
don't
that's
know either.
fan based or how that works. Because I know when you go to the Rock Hall, you can do a voting situation to vote for the different artists that you feel as though that should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if that's just something for fun or if that actually has anything to do with those guys getting nominated, men or women, I should say. So I don't know. But yeah, that's an interesting one. Styx,
Six.
Mr. Roboto.
There you go.
Wow.
Countless hits, sure. Huh. Well,
What
all
about Jimmy Buffett? Jimmy Buffett's in now.
right.
Did you
Jimmy
know
Buffett.
that?
How is he not in already?
I don't know. And then Dionne Warwick just got in as well.
Right.
And then
Right.
some of the other folks, I once again, I don't want to sound like an idiot, which I usually do most time. I don't know some of the people. Norman Whitfield, I don't know who that is.
Right.
MC5, I don't know what MC5 is. Obviously, I should probably look that up.
They're the band that took over after MC4 retired.
Big Mama Thornton.
Okay.
Don't know that. And John Mayhill. Don't know who that is either. So, but congrats to those folks. Now, here's the
Yeah.
question. We probably need to do the research, and I imagine Jen Brastovich could talk. Is the induction in Cleveland this year, or is it in New York?
Oh.
I think it's in New York. I want to say most recently we had the induction here in Cleveland. I think it's every 2 years.
It is every 2 years. It is every 2 years. I'm Googling
I hear you Googling.
and I don't want to hold up the proceedings here.
Good thing we edited this
We can
podcast.
come back to that at the end of the show
I
and
think that's a great idea.
announcement. That might be the way to go. Did you have anything else you wanted to cover here at the top of the show? Wait a minute, I got it.
Oh, breaking news.
The Rock Hall of Fame induction ceremonies will take place in Cleveland this fall for 2024,
Oh.
yet to be determined.
Well, that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
They usually do a lot of free concerts outside and all that that comes with that. So, I'm excited for that. That's cool. For some reason I thought it was in Cleveland last year, but Ted, the years are combining. I don't know. I can't
Yeah,
remember 3 years from here
it
from
all
now.
runs together.
So, it does.
My son makes fun of me because I can't remember things, and I say, "Well, you only have 12 years of memories to work off of. I have a few more than that." So
Yeah.
that's where that topic ends. But speaking of topics, on this week's show, we have the oldest living man. We're going to tell you who he is and He's going to tell us how he's managed to live so long. A lot of tiptoeing in our overachievers segment. We're going to reminisce in Cleveland sports about a former Browns number one pick. And we're going to learn all there is to know, or at least try to learn all there is to learn, about the growing field of e-sports.
And now, a woman's perspective.
How do you scare a man? Sneak up behind him and start throwing rice.
This has been a woman's perspective.
Ted, your favorite segment, good news.
Good.
The world's oldest man is now Englishman, 111-year-old John Alfred Tenniswood.
Okay.
He holds the title following the death of Venezuelan man who held the record at 114 years.
Wow.
Tennis said he never smokes, rarely drinks, and follows no special diet apart from a fish and chip supper once a week. That's what you have. You have fish and chips once a week, don't you?
Absolutely.
He says the secret to his long life is moderation and quote, unquote, pure luck. There it is.
Don't worry about lifting all them weights or running around.
No.
It's all luck.
Just luck. Moderation.
Moderation.
It's tough to do that.
Yeah, I think the moderation is probably as big of an influence as anything else, though.
I mean, like, he's getting the fish and chips. I mean, is he only eating half the fish and half the chips? I mean, I feel like it's insulting to the restaurant. I think you have to eat the whole meal off the plate and then lick it. Make sure there's nothing left. That's what I usually do.
That's what I do. I just can't go out to eat anymore because nobody will let me in.
Blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah.
Today's guest is a chief gaming officer and co-owner of North Coast Entertainment in Cleveland, Ohio. They've opened a premier state-of-the-art full service gaming system at Cedar Point. They offer top-tier professional gaming stations and equipment for practice, curriculum, as well as broadcast and produce live streams as well as other content. Let's bring in our guest, Brian Yale. Brian, thanks for talking with us today. And it is so coincidental because I had conversations with many different people involved with the NCAA Final Four and other type of gaming, type of sports activities I've been part of. And they always ask me, what exactly is esports? And your timing is perfect because I can never give the right answer. So I leave the baton to you. Can you tell us, for us people that are middle-aged, that understand video games but don't know everything, please explain to our audience exactly what esports is and your involvement with it.
Sure. You know, first, I appreciate you having me on. And this is a question I get very often. I've been doing this since, the late 90s. So I've spent my entire adult life and even pre-adult life in the gaming space and different functionalities. The base thing of what esports is, it's competitive gaming. It's taking something, an activity, and putting rules and structure around it for player development up to professional play. It's that whole ecosystem around it. So when someone says esports, the mind goes, hey, it's like playing Madden. Well, Madden is one small aspect of what the general whole industry of esports is. So esports is like saying sports. It is just the whole genre of competitive gaming is the simplest answer I can give you. Now, there's a 9-hour lecture that follows this about the depth and the breadth of it. But yeah, in the simplest terms, it just means competitive gaming.
So talk about competitive gaming. How are these competitions online? Are they in person? Are they all together? What's the... Is it both? How does that work?
It is both. Yeah. I mean, it's yes. The answer is yes. I mean, video games, it really started. It's kind of funny. You know, when back in the day, you start with the Atari, you started with the Nintendo, you know, you go back, it was a in your home co-op with a person on your couch. Right. So it was a very in-person event. As it progressed, it turned into mainly an online operated activity to where you can play with anybody in the world. It's easily accessible. That's why we saw the explosive growth during COVID and the pandemic, was because it was a way for everyone to connect when they couldn't physically connect. But esports, I'd say majority of esports competitions down all the levels away from pro is online, because it's just ease of access and just low cost of barrier of entry for running events and that such. At the highest level, the best events, the most celebrated events are always called LANs or stuff that's done in person. So, you know, when you, like in colleges, you work with a lot of colleges, we work with a lot of colleges, they'll run, their season will be online, but their main events or the finals will always be in person at some get together or some major event.
So Brian, my question for you, and I want to get a little bit of your background history, but sure, to follow up with the question Ted just had. So you talk about, obviously there's matches that they have at colleges and high schools. How do they decide what games they're going to play, and what games is it that they play? I guess that's the biggest question. You know, you talked about Madden. Do they play Madden, or do they play like Fortnite, or what do they play?
It's a good question. I wish there was an easy answer to this, because it varies on level. And this is part of the struggles when you're talking about a maturation of an industry, is what do they play at the pros? What do they play at the development level? Let's call it the amateur level. What do they play at the colleges, and what do they play at the high schools, right? And all those, I'm sad to say, they're not the exact same games. There's at the high school level, let's start the lowest level going up from organized play, definitely Fortnite. You're talking about Valorant's very big. You're talking about Overwatch is still very popular. Rocket League's still very popular. Smash Bros. Is very popular. These are the games that are kind of at the high school level they're seeing a lot of interest in. League of Legends is another game. I won't go into it again. I'm listing a bunch of games that many people may not know, but it's a totally different discussion. But, you know, it was very popular a couple of years ago, but it's died off. And it's by region. If in Ohio, there's a higher propensity for Overwatch, Valorant, and Fortnite. Other parts of the country, California, Texas, Florida, they have large League of Legends demographics. So it's even regionalized down to what area of the country you live in and what your player base is. And then colleges, you know, what's really big in colleges, Overwatch is massive, Rocket League's massive, Valorant's massive, League of Legends is very popular, Call of Duty is very popular. And then the pro scene, League of Legends has a franchise league. Call of Duty is going away from the franchise league. Overwatch had a franchise league. So those were the major ones. It's around franchising around the developers of the games, kind of is the measuring stick of how big a game is. But Counter-Strike, a game that's not played in any of the other levels, is still a very massive top tier game at the pro scene. So a lot of it has to do with when you're dealing with schools and public funding, the violence level, the concerns around kind of what's being shown. And it's, again, there are so many discussions on each of these topics that we can go into, but just kind of give you a base level. I'll tell you, sports sims, Madden's, FIFA's, new NCAA coming out, NBA 2K, while popular, are not really popular in the organized areas. They don't draw enough attention. We have a team here in Cleveland, the Legion. I'm very, very tight with the Legion. You know, we have a pro team. It's associated with the Cavaliers. But it doesn't, in the grand scheme of professional esports, it's a small sliver of what we consider the pro scene. So I hope I'm providing clarity while at the same time knowing I'm adding so many layers of complexity to the discussion. But this is kind of what makes, one, esports exciting and interesting, but two, kind of that, to your original question, why it's so confusing, because there's not a straightforward answer to it.
So if I understand correctly, you're telling me that people are getting paid to play video games, and there is a pro league in which one can do this. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you, 5 years ago, you know, I formed a company with five other individuals called Infinite Esports. And we had pro teams. We had teams in both the franchise leagues. We had salaries over $1 million each. Our runway every month on paying stuff out was over $3 million.
I'm not telling my kids about this. I can't
tell my kids about this. Well, see, you should.
Well, here's the interesting fact. And so that there's, you know, I am biased, right? Because this is what I've made my life choice to be. This is what I really fully support. So there's a lot of, but I'm a father of three. I understand both sides. I grew up playing traditional sports. So I understand the drive. you know, I spent 30 years in Texas. That's where I played high school football. I mean, that did, you can't get a bigger, you know, traditional sports kind of centric area. And for me, there's just as much upside to professional gaming and gaming development, especially now that the colleges are coming in and offering scholarships. When we talk about path to pro, I've done the path to pro. I've done the pro scene. I've done player development. For me, in this stage of my life and my career, my focus and what we focus at CPE, even though it's called Cedar Point Esports, is really just bringing gaming to the people. Let's just, to your original question, let's show them what competitive gaming is all about and open up the eyes that as people get younger, the generations get, you know, you go Gen X, Millennials, Gen Alpha, whatever the terminology you want to use, the higher percentage of them are gamers. And now even their parents, the disposable income is much higher. Now you have parents that are gamers. We have leagues where the parents are gamers and they're bringing their kids in because they see the value. We run a league just like you run basketball league, volleyball league, soccer league, football, whatever. And they see the player development. We talk about communication, life skills, overcoming challenges, working as a team, communication, health and wellness, sleep, nutrition. All these things are the same languages you hear in traditional sports. We also use in gaming because it's just as important. Peak performance is peak performance. One of the questions I get asked, I remember I was talking to ESPN about this. They said, are gamers athletes? I'm like, I don't want to answer that question because gamers are gamers. It's like saying, and some people may find this offensive, but an astronaut is not an athlete. But it doesn't mean he's not in peak physical form, doesn't have peak mental capacity, doesn't have all of the things you need to do these things at an extremely high level. So it's not about trying to overcome the athlete or replace, you know, what's going on in a field or on a court, but it's about providing another place where people can come together, get life development skills, give them a path to go to college, and probably give them a career. Because I, you know, talked about, you know, gaming making money. Yes, pro players make a lot of money, but you know who makes a lot more money? People that do the digital content creation, people that do the marketing skills you learn from this whole thing, tournament organizers, producers, directors, game developers. All these things tie in and have a closer tie-in to the esports and gaming community. And I think that's where the positive side of this whole thing is this opening another avenue. It's not about replacing. And that's the thing I want to talk about. I'm not here to take, if Jimmy is a travel baseball player and that's what he wants to do, I'm not trying to convince him not to, but there's someone that doesn't want to do that. And what we're trying to do is say, hey, there are other paths out there. There are other ways we can be a contributing member to society and to give you a path forward to make a good income, which is going to be the struggle more and more every year, as we see that this provides not only colleges to have recruiting and retention, because we know no enrollment numbers are dropping. That's why they're doing it. It provides the high schools to have more community engagement, get the kids in school activities, which we all know has a positive impact on the grades and how they perform as students. So all these things for us are what we focus on. And I think are the base benefits to what we're doing and how we proceed.
Ryan, this is outstanding. This is really, really good, because there's a certain niche of kids that certainly will, you know, be very interested in this. And I know a lot of kids that are doing esports and obviously started at the high school level and they're moving on to college and they're playing for different local colleges around here, which is great. My question for you, we got to get some history with you. How in the heck do you get to the point where you're at? Did it start off with just playing Atari and you were attached? I'm like, hey, I really like this. Where is my life going to lead to in video games?
You know, I actually have a reverse story. So yeah, absolutely. From a young age, I had parents that were very supportive of gaming. I mean, I had the first Atari, where soccer and hockey were the same thing with a different color background, right? We're talking Pong. I mean, in really to progress through that whole every system as we go. And it was a hobby of mine. It was a personal project of mine. And then through like my high school days, I worked in comic book stores, land centers. You know, I was a manager of three different land centers in the early 2000s, before pro scene was a pro scene in America, right? It was always massive overseas, and much bigger overseas before it was here. And then I left the scene. I actually I had a good career in cybersecurity. I made a decent amount of money. I was, you know, well-paying job at an established industry. And I got a chance to come back into gaming. And it really came around. I met a kid that played Pokemon in my comic book store. This is how far back it goes. He was an 8-year-old kid that was playing Pokemon, had grown up and became a manager of a pro team. And he happened to be in my area in Texas. I went and visited, and I brought my two boys. I've two boys and a girl. I brought my two boys over to meet some pro players, and they treated them with such love and care and just general, just joy of like meeting their fans and everything. I said that day, and I actually posted on Reddit many years ago that I don't know what I'm going to do in this space, but I'm going to do something because this is what I want to be a part of. And from that moment on, I formed a company that did productions for fighting games. That rolled up into then forming Infinite Esports. So we had pro teams. We exited that company. I went into AI development for taking highlights from these streams and creating instant highlights, and was able to then, we got acquired in that company in the last couple of years. And in that meantime, I moved back home to Cleveland. And I came back home after building all this stuff in Dallas. I was like, there's nothing here. And so I reached out to Scott Norcross, who had been working on a project in Elyria and then started working on this project in Cedar Point, and said, I don't know what you're doing, but I want to be a part of it. I don't know what that means. I don't know how that goes. But that's kind of where my mindset is at, is I know the value of the impact this has. And I have millions of stories to tell about that, but I know it's the right thing. And that's kind of what started my journey with North Coast. And when I moved back home, to Westlake, and that first thing we opened was Cedar Point, where we have Forge 417 opening in downtown Elyria. It's going to be a massive facility, working with Kevin Flanagan to revitalize the downtown area. For us, that's a huge thing because it's not just about the pro esports scene or just, you know, that side of it, but it's bringing people together around this, the flavor of gaming and entertainment, and just bringing the community together and bringing people out and enjoying the camaraderie around it.
So my understanding is that you talked about that, you know, college, people going to college is going down. But my understanding is that you can also major in esports at some places. Can you talk about that? Sure. And when we say we're majoring in esports, is someone teaching the students how to play Fortnite, or what are they? No. What are you learning when you? You're talking about how to hold the controller. What are we doing?
I think it's a misnomer, because when you say, it's the equivalent of saying I'm majoring in sports, right? We know that doesn't mean you're majoring in sports. It means you're majoring in sports management, business management, sports law, event management, something, you know, sports nutrition, physical therapy, some of those things. Same thing with esports. If you're majoring in an esports degree, typically it's around either business management, event management, hospitality. I know, talking to Ashlyn, I'd love to get more stuff for them because they're a major hospitality school, right? And so for us, our major things are events. What are events? They're hospitality, right? There's these direct connections that I think a lot of people are overthinking, or thinking this esports thing is just what happens behind a keyboard and controller. And as you know, in any production, you guys put on a podcast, how much of your work is done on the screen, or how much of it's done with the editing and the calls and the interviews and the setups and the sponsors and all these other aspects that actually facilitate the 98% of the work that's done that helps facilitate the 2% that we see. That's what majoring in esports is. It's really the 98%. Now the 2%, it's all in, you know, all to help push that and promote that, right? So that's kind of when you say we're majoring in esports. Well, what in esports are majoring in? And again, you can make a one-for-one comparison to a lot of the other things with traditional sports. And, you know, then we get into the certification processes and all these other things, and that's still in development. We're still trying to figure that out as an industry. But yeah, there's no school for esports to learn how to play a game. You can go on YouTube. There's a lot of online courses, and there's a lot of coaches and a lot of that's a whole separate industry that we definitely do. But, you know, at the college level, it's really around what they're doing with the school of business, what they're doing with law firms. You know, my business partner, both my business partners are lawyers that focus on esports law. And a lot of that has to do with contracts and partnerships and sponsorship negotiations and investment funds. And so all these things that are very traditional in the business world also apply to games. And what people don't understand is the gaming industry, and it's a number that gets thrown around, is larger than the movie industry and larger than the music industry combined. That's the industry of games we're talking about. And that's everyone. That's mobile games. That's, you know, people playing at home and the professional scene. What people don't realize is that the professional scene of esports is a marketing tool for game developers to showcase their game. That's what it is. It's a giant commercial to drive people, the 99% of gamers that aren't pro, to play the games at home at a recreational level. It is a business play. That's all it is. That's what drives the whole industry. Now, we can talk about the gambling side. We can talk about the other things. Just like traditional sports, gambling yep. does play a part in funding, sponsorship, and a lot of money that goes into it. And it, I'll give you a small side note. When we went through the pandemic, you know, one of the hardest things that industry saw, especially on the gaming front, was horse racing stopped. You know how big of a deal it is for the books when the horse races stopped for even a couple of days? So it spooked them. And what they said was, well, look at this esports thing. It's evergreen. It runs 24/7, 365. It follows the sun. It's everywhere in the world. That now is our backup plan to when horse races stop. So just in case something ever happens again, this is a business play that we can put in place that we know that provides an avenue for us to move forward. So this is kind of where we're at in the world. Is now we're looking at how does esports and gaming fit into my business? How does it affect the things I want to fit? If you have a product, you want to reach the younger demographic. They're not watching TV. They're not listening to the radio. They're on the games. They're watching YouTube. They're watching Twitch. And majority of that content is gaming. So you have to understand the gaming. You have to understand the esports space to reach a target audience in ways that are traditionally unreachable.
Brian, this is really, really good. We have a lot of parents that listen to our podcast and have young kids that are involved in video games and things like that. My question for you, and this will be our last question, then Ted will wrap up for us here. What a great conversation this has been. If I have a son or daughter that are interested mm-hmm. in gaming, you have this facility that's at Cedar Point. Yep. Do I take them there and they can get an experience of different games and things like that? Explain to me how that whole thing would work.
Absolutely. So we are open to the public. So we have an hourly rate. You can come in and just for recreational purposes, but I highly recommend joining our leagues, joining the summer camps, because it gives you an immense experience of not only the competitive play, working with other individuals, but more importantly, what we've seen is the parents get to talk to each other. And when they see and they have these great conversations around the improvement around schools, it only further, like, you know, we have so many kids that weren't communicating well in school. They weren't engaging with other classmates. They get on this esports team. They're wearing their jerseys to class. They have something to talk about. They connect over the games. It gives them social and developmental skills, even outside the game, that we find so important. So to answer your question directly, get them in a summer camp. Get them into, we just got our spring break camps done. We have programs going through the summer. Check out something, but definitely join a league. Find a game that they're comfortable with. It's 8 weeks. You get a jersey. You feel special. You compete. You get put on a team. You know, yes, do we work on your in-game skills? Absolutely. That's our job as coaches and everything. But more importantly, you get put into a community with like-minded individuals and other parents that you can ask questions. And if you have doubts, we have several parents that, we have testimonials and interviews. We'd be more than happy to talk to any other parents because of what they've seen improvement inside the game and, more importantly, outside the game.
That's awesome.
So if I want to get involved in esports, is there a Pong league that I can join? Do you have a professional Pong? Wasn't that the original Atari thing? I want to do the thing with the paddle. That was the original. I want to do Pong on the podcast and hire, I don't know, Tom Hamilton to come in and do the play-by-play. That's what we're thinking about.
You is that right? Laugh. You laugh, but the sky's the limit. That's the great thing about what we do. Right. We can make that happen. If that's something you want to do, I would happily do it. I mean, there's so much that in the space, like for connecting old gamers or disconnected gamers, former gamers, wherever you want to call them, where, I was talking to Scott, the co-owner, and he wants to bring back NHL 95 because he liked playing hockey, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Going back to the old Nintendo games. I mean, those are the things we can definitely do that. I mean, they have ways to emulate the games. We can bring back retro nights. We have adult leagues, just like a bowling league. We have adult league where you come in once a week, because we know adults can't commit two times a week to something. So they come in, they put on a jersey, they play, Call of Duty, they play Madden, they play NBA. There's no limit to what can be done, and it doesn't have to be, blown out your knee or regretting the actions you did the next day, right? I mean, the consequences for our actions of reliving our youth in gaming are actually pretty minimal. I mean, it's low risk, high reward.
Is there such an injury as gamer's thumb? Is that a thing? Or
the biggest one, I mean, from the control side, you get calluses. Yeah. That's true. The other one is you can get, if gamers don't have correct posture, there is posture thing related. If you work from home, when you work at a computer, same thing applies, right? Like if you, there's the basic human body can only be in some positions for so long before you start having long-term complications. But again, a lot of this is what we teach. And as long as you know ahead of time, small changes correct that. And honestly, getting up, stretching, taking a break, re-preach it. We're all about it, right? This is not 15-hour gaming sessions. This is come in, be competitive, take a break, practice, take a break, you know, 9 hours of sleep, good nutrition, the whole works.
Hey, Brian, if people want to get more information about your business or get involved in esports, what's the best way to either contact you or to do that?
Yeah, so there's two ways to really do this. Well, actually three. One, if you want to go to Cedar Point Esports directly, that's the website, cedarpointesports.com. On there, we have lists of all our offerings, leagues, camps, clinics, birthday parties, informational. We have videos of walkthroughs, so you actually kind of see what it is and what it's all about. On there, there's a contact us email that goes directly to my phone, so we'll respond. Another way to do it is through Instagram and Facebook. We have a strong social media following. We're always growing it. In this day and age, you have to be social media present. So we post every day on that, so you can reach out, contact us through that. We will also respond. And from a business side, North Coast Entertainment is the holding group that has this Forge 417 and many other projects in the works. If you're business, sponsorships wise or any other, want to talk business to business, go to northcoast.gg is our website, and it has all our projects on there, contact, about us. And those kind of are the three best ways to reach out.
Awesome. Well, Brian, we appreciate the time, and I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you do. First of all, tell your father we said hello. He was actually one of our earlier guests promoting his podcast, Phil's Tracks. And I've obviously known Phil for a while as being the president of the Ashton University Alumni Association. But I know you are also trying to work with the AU group as well with their esports team. So that's super exciting. Ted and I being alma maters, or part of the alma mater for Ashland, that's super exciting. They have a lot of kids involved with that program. I think they're up to like 40 or 50 or something like that.
And they have one of the best Overwatch programs in the country.
Yeah,
and that's the sad thing is, you're alumni and you didn't know that. I mean, that's what we're trying to overcome. It's just that awareness. So anything we can do, I'm all about raising awareness at every level.
Right, awesome stuff.
Well, Brian, thanks for your time, and best of luck.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Ted, we're out and about Northeast Ohio, spending our hard-earned money at many establishments. Here's a few that I took in the last 2 weeks. New ones. Slim and Chubby's in Strongsville. I know you like to frequent there.
I'm just half of that.
Slim?
No.
Okay. I spent some time at Ashland for some alumni awards. I went to the Chicago Deli in Solon, Ohio. Great place for breakfast. I highly recommend it. First Watch in Medina. Took that in. They added a location a few years ago. Very nice. Had great lunch. And then the place I want to talk about the most is a place called Picklebacks. It is in Medina. It is in the area called Common Grounds, which is right off State Road. Actually, a Padua alum, Dave Tepper, who I had the opportunity to meet not long ago, has taken this over. It's a cocktail bar, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty cool. Great inside. They're putting in a good amount of money for a nice deck on the area. And right now he's got a drive-through called, it's a grab and go, which does very well. It actually has a bar with that, but he's put in a nice cocktail bar, and ladies and gentlemen, you should check that out. That's part of why we do Out and About, to help local business people. And if you have the opportunity and you're Medina and you're looking for a drink, like myself, get yourself to Picklebacks. Ted, I'm ready. Do you have some other cocktail bars you frequented?
No cocktail bars. We went to the Brew Kettle.
Which one?
It's there on Bagley or Pearl Road, I should say.
Oh, in the by the Ville.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know this will come as a surprise. It's near a hockey rink.
It is near a hockey rink. Yes. Near a
hockey rink.
Yes, it is. The Strongsville rink. Yes.
Yeah, we went there and good food, very tasty. So yeah, I asked for a taste of a beer. You know, I think they charge a quarter for a taste or whatever. And well, the guy recommended a beer for me that he said, yeah, this will taste a little like what you're looking for. I tried it. I think it was the guy's first day.
Why do you say that?
He was way off.
Oh.
He tasted as that tasted as much like Blue Moon as I fit into size 29.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. You are a Blue Moon guy.
I'm a Blue Moon guy.
They do have a beer that's similar to Blue Moon.
What's that?
They do have a beer that's similar to Blue Moon.
Oh, they didn't. The one they gave me ain't it. I'll tell you that.
So did you find something?
No, I had a Coke or a something.
Oh, so you went, you didn't even have a beer. You had soda.
I tried the taste. I said, thank you. I'll have a Coke. Yep. Let's not have too much of a good thing.
Oh boy. Okay.
So, that's my out and about.
That's your out and about. I love it. Focus on one place. That's all you need. That's it. Well, Ted, thanks for getting out and about, supporting your local business. Ladies and gentlemen, you should do the same.
Cleveland! This is for you!
It's time to talk to one of our favorite sports people. We're going to talk about Cleveland sports, and that means only one person and one person only. The professor, Dr. Dusty Sloan. Dusty, an interesting one for you here. Not that long ago, even though it was 23 years ago, April 15th, 2000, the Cleveland Browns are on the clock, and they make their first pick by selecting Penn State defensive end Courtney Brown. I'm going to say nothing else, and I want your comments.
Well, Courtney Brown is yet another example of a potential all-pro / Hall of Fame Cleveland Browns player that unfortunately had their professional career derailed by injuries. Obviously, a beast of a football player at Penn State. He's picked number one overall by the Browns, plays his entire rookie season, all 16 games, starts all 16 games, 4.5 sacks, 69 tackles, 16 tackles for loss. You're thinking, all right, Browns have something to build on. And he only played 5 games the year after that. He only played 11 games the year after that. He only played 13 games the year after that. He only played 2 games the year after that. And then I forgot that he played in 2005 in Denver. And then his career was over by age 28. So, once again, the early Browns Maloik hit someone, and it was Courtney Brown.
Maloik. I have to look that up in the dictionary. Hey, wondering how good you think Courtney Brown could have been had injuries not reared their ugly head.
He had the potential to be one of the best in NFL history just based on the physical stature, all of the physical tools that he had, the athleticism, 6'4", 285, but he could run down players from behind. It was just that I believe the injury he got his second year was the dreaded Liz Frank injury, which in the foot, and that's hard to come back from, and he was just never the same player. He had 6 sacks, played 13 games in 2003, but just was never able to stay on the field and contribute the way they thought he would.
I think we're spoiled nowadays, Dusty, looking at the current team with Myles Garrett, because in all honesty, what Myles Garrett does for the Browns is what the Browns were hoping Courtney Brown could do at that time. Absolutely. Would you say that's correct?
Without question, because you're talking about he was drafted in the first round, the second year of the team that was back. So you're trying to build that base of good young players who can be there for you for the next 6, 8, 10 years, and he turned out to be, through no fault of his own, it wasn't like a Kellen Winslow situation where he wrecked his bicycle or his motorcycle, but it wasn't his fault, but he just ended up being part of that line of early first-round picks that just didn't pan out.
Boy, if he doesn't get injured, the trajectory of this franchise might have taken off a lot earlier than it has, no?
Absolutely, because in the year that the Browns made the playoffs in 2002, he only played 11 games and only had two sacks. So he really wasn't a big part of that. Now, if you take that injury away and he's a productive player, a Pro Bowl, all-pro type player for 6, 8, 10 years, that drop-off that they had right after 2002 where they didn't go to the playoffs again for X number of years may not have happened.
That's such a good point. Well, they tried a couple years in a row. They got the, they thought they had a quarterback, and then they tried to get a defensive end, which actually is a pretty smart thing. You got your leader on your offense, leader on your defense. But as we know, it just didn't work out, Dusty. So
it did not.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, appreciate the time as always, Dusty. Great information on Courtney Brown.
Thanks, guys. Courtney
Brown, just who cannot reach fulfillment. Thanks for your time, Dusty.
You bet.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Overachievers now, Ken. Tiptoeing ballerinas set a new Guinness World Record. Hundreds of them were at the Plaza Hotel in New York City to help celebrate the Youth America Grand Prix. That's a ballet scholarship program celebrating its 25th anniversary. Dancers from 9 to 19 stood on their tiptoes, switched their weight rapidly from 1 foot to the other for a full minute. 353 of them did it to set the record. The previous record for ballerinas on point en masse was 306. So they crushed it.
They did.
Yeah.
Good for them. That's cool.
They tiptoed all over it.
They certainly did.
Yeah.
Not through the tulips, but on stage.
No. So, yeah. Does your daughter ballet?
There is some part of ballet that's involved. She's in a bunch of different classes, but I, full respect for some of these dance recitals that I've gone to with her dance competition, there's some ballerinas involved, and hats off, man. What they're doing on their tippy toes is, I can't even do it on a full foot.
The most trusted name in journalism, Klopp's Clips.
All right, Ken, you probably know this, but the cicadas are coming. One place in New Orleans has a special idea for them.
Oh.
Yeah. The Audubon Insectarium's curator of animal collections has come up with a cicada salad. Sounds appetizing, doesn't it? It's a green salad with apples, almonds, blueberry vinaigrette dressing, and roasted cicadas. Other items on the cafe menu, the cafe at the Insectarium is called Bug Appetit. And the other items include cinnamon bug crunch, chili fried wax worms, and crispy Cajun spiced crickets.
If you're going to have something like that, New Orleans would be the place. Yeah. That would make sense to me.
Would you be, if you were there, would you try the cicada salad?
I would try it, yes. I have gone, as I've gotten older, I will try nearly almost everything. Will I get it for a regular meal? No, but I'll try it. I'll try it. Let's do it.
An animal rescue group in Connecticut says a pair of vultures initially thought to be very ill were actually just drunk. The vultures had apparently been dumpster diving and ate something with alcohol in it. It left them too drunk to fly. They were given fluids and a big breakfast and then released to rejoin their colony.
Oh, that's good. Given an IV and then they were good.
That's it. A British sheep farmer has found a unique way to stop aggressive behavior in the rams she raises. She says she sprays them with the Africa variety of Axe body spray. It apparently has a strong smell and masks the hormones that otherwise make rams aggressive toward one another.
I must ask this question. What is the Africa variety of axe?
I don't know.
What would be? I need to find this out.
Yeah, I get some and wear it the next time you're out. See what people say.
No, I don't have to worry about Rams being aggressive, that's for sure.
There you go. A Michigan woman stopped at a gas station, bought some scratch-off lottery tickets on her way to her tarot card reading. At the reading, she was told money would be coming into her life soon. That night, she scratched off her lottery tickets and discovered she'd won $500,000.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah. That doesn't happen to me.
Gotta go to that tarot card reader.
Yeah.
A Wisconsin woman is accused of trying to shoot her boyfriend. Prosecutors say she fired a round near his ear and then almost hit him again as he walked away. Lily Hawkinson's boyfriend says she was upset because he didn't have his taxes done. Police say, shocker here, Hawkinson's blood alcohol level was way above the legal limit when she was arrested.
This all makes sense now.
Yeah. Get those That's taxes aggressive. Done. Yeah. We're more than a week overdue now. A Brazilian woman brought a man to the bank in a wheelchair. She claimed to be his niece and primary caregiver and was there to help him apply for a loan. Employees became suspicious that the man was very sick when they noticed that she had to hold his head up and he wasn't talking. The woman kept trying to talk to him, saying he was just a quiet guy. Employees got suspicious to the point where they called EMS and police. Paramedics checked the guy and discovered he'd been dead for a few hours.
Oh, for God's sakes.
The woman was arrested. She claimed that the guy, who isn't her uncle, by the way, she says he died during the loan approval process.
Oh, my God.
I guess that APR was a little much for him.
That is... Wow.
You're going to have to... Check back on that.
My gosh.
Yeah.
That's like Weekend at Bernie's is what that is. That's terrible. My gosh.
Yeah. Hold your head up.
Wow.
In sports, scores 5-2, 6-3, 8-1. I'm Ted Klopp. That's news to me.
Not a dad joke.
What do you call a retired Terminator?
I don't know.
An exterminator.
That joke was horrible.
Ken, we're coming to the end of episode number 135. I have breaking news.
Oh.
Yes.
Hit the bell.
I don't have a bell, but the Lyndhurst Dads Club has a new head baseball coach. For one of the majors teams.
The Lyndhurst Men's Club?
Dad's Club.
What is that?
The Dad's Club, it's an organization, and they have a baseball league. They do all different age levels, minors, majors, Pony, I think is the next one. I don't know.
All right.
Rebel teams, whatnot. The majors level has a new head baseball coach.
You want me to try to name who this person is?
I think you should.
Oral Hershiser.
One could suggest that would be an accurate statement. Yes. Yes, indeed.
So that's you.
I've been roped in.
Oh.
They were one coach short. And what did the big leaguer say? After much deliberation and consultation with those close to me, I've decided that this is the proper move to make.
What are the ages you're coaching?
This would be, I think, 10 and 11-year-olds.
Okay.
Or maybe just 11-year-olds. I don't know.
You're going to play small ball, or you trying to hit you hitting homers?
10. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just trying to coach. I've never
just
coached.
Trying to coach.
I've never coached baseball.
I think you're doing a phenomenal job.
Never have coached it. So that's what I'll be doing this summer. How about you? What you have any?
How many games you got? How many games you got?
The season goes till mid-July. Starts in early to mid-June. And I've already been given a hard time by some friends of mine One parent in front of this friend of mine asked when the playoffs would be. And this friend of mine said, wait a minute, with him as the coach, you think you're making the playoffs? And I said, whoa, 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 hold on a second. I want to be clear here. We are playoff bound.
You are playoff bound. That's well said.
All four teams make the playoffs.
There's four teams in your league?
Yeah, I mean, we play teams from other cities as well. But, yeah, there's four teams in the Lyndhurst thing.
I'll use a quote from one of the most famous baseball movies, Major League. There's only one thing left to do. Win the whole effing thing.
That's it.
Win it all. Show them up.
I see myself, if anybody has any questions about where they're going to play or how they're going to get ready for the season, I can see myself giving them the Lou Brown, Roger Dorn treatment.
Yes. Yes. Will you wear the uniform?
Well, it's just a t-shirt, so yes.
Oh. I will. You don't have to wear the pants?
No,
you
can
wear the full pants, wear the baseball
pants.
No. Oh,
God, great. No, we don't need to see that.
Well, Ted, thanks for your service. These youth don't know what they're getting into, but you're going to teach them. Life skills is what you're going to do. Life skills.
Okay.
I love it. Ted, great show. Special thanks to Brian Yale, who updated us on some esports. Great conversation. Great information. A lot of things I did not know about esports, and Brian was able to answer our questions. Dusty Sloan, bringing it home once again with more Cleveland sports. Is there a topic with Cleveland sports you think Dusty doesn't know? I, in all honesty, I think if you threw Cleveland Four stuff at it, he would know that too.
He would find a way. Maybe Cleveland Lumberjacks or Cleveland Barons, yeah, or the hockey. I don't know the hockey guy. He is.
He's a pretty big hockey guy. He follows the Blue Jackets.
Does he? Okay. Well, maybe I don't know. Maybe there isn't anything to stump him.
Well, that's like a minor league organization. So,
oh,
geez. Good thing the Monsters are really good. They're making the playoffs again. They were the top.
They won their division. They got a bye in the first round. Way to go, Monsters.
Don't know what's going on with the upper level. That's they are not good.
I got my Monsters hat here somewhere. Anyhow, yeah, way to go, Monsters. We're big.
Yeah, monsters. Awesome stuff. Well, Ted, thanks for all your work on the show. Thanks to listeners. And until next time, please remember, we're two middle-aged men in Cleveland.
Two Middle-Aged Men in Cleveland is sponsored by Westminster AV, custom audio-visual packages for all occasions.